Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the January 18th, 2023 regular board meeting. It's 3:30 p.m. Calling it to order. Amelia, could we have roll call, please?
Director Mabee.
Here.
Director Janko. Director Janko hasn't joined us yet. Director Butler?
Here.
Director Paul?
Here.
Director Booth?
Here.
Thank you.
Item number three, I'm going to kick over to the general man, Michael.
Okay.
Wait, no, item number two is a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Thank you.
Oh, that's
item
right.
Number two. I'm making a motion. Can we adopt the agenda as written?
Second. I'll second.
Thank you, Director Booth.
Oh, here comes
roll
Randy.
Call, Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko is still... Oh, Director Janko.
Director Janko, we need your vote on item number two, adoption of calendar.
Aye. Adopt the agenda. Aye, aye, aye. Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Director Booth.
Aye.
Thank you.
And probably the most important thing we got on the agenda today is item number three. Michael.
Okay, thank you. So, as everybody knows, on January 30th, we had a storm that began that would create historical peak flooding conditions by 10 a.m. the morning of New Year's Eve. The river got up to 16.83 feet at 67,800 CFS at Michigan Bar. This is the highest level recorded at Michigan Bar since 1997. It's roughly 1.7 feet higher than the peak event in 2017. On Saturday, December 31st, operations staff responded to calls for increasing flooding around Rancho Murrieta. Numerous drainage items, crews responded to issues related with infiltration, overwhelming lift station 6B, main lift north, and the main lift south sump storm pumps. Through the combined efforts of 7 utility and operations staff, 5 security staff, a district electrical contractor, 2 pumping contractors, and 2 local residents who would like to remain anonymous, the district did not experience a sewage spill, and all storm pumps were maintained in operation for the duration of the storm. I've been in this business for over 25 years, and with the amount of water that we had in this flood, I fully expected one of those 2 lift stations to fail, and it's only through the efforts of the operators and the our pumping contractors that we did not spill any sewage. So the one time it probably wouldn't have been acceptable if we did, we didn't. We held the line.
Can we use that later then?
We can use that. We have a credit. I'm going to apply for a credit with the state.
I'll do the paperwork.
Right. I'll do the paperwork. Also, security staff played a role in keeping the gates manned and continuing communications through the south gate throughout this event. One officer on his day off risked entry to Rancho Murrieta through flooded roads in his 4x4 to make sure that staff was relieved. Another 3 gate and patrol officers worked extended periods. Another gate officer came in on their day off to ensure that the gate stayed open. Some of the patrol officers that made it into Rancho Murrieta did sustain some damage to their personal vehicles. So district staff responded to the morning of the 31st, into the morning of the 31st and worked into the night and the following day and the 2nd. On the 31st, employees were not able to leave the area due to road closures until the next day after some of the flooding receded. So I want to name the following utility operators that responded. Travis Bohannon, Ron Greenfield, James Coles, Mario Moreno, Heather Pedro, Ed McMurray, and Ryan Wanker. For security, we had Mel Outram, Vitaly Perepelka, did I get that right? Karen Hessler, Dave Labrado, Paul Anderson. And then we also had the following contractors help us out: Prodigy Electric, Edco Pumping, and ABC Plumbing. We also had 2 residents that remained anonymous. And district staff and contractors responded to the multiple issues bravely and competently. District staff and district infrastructure held the line and completely avoided spilling sewage. Other future pump station challenges will be alleviated with the district's current and continued investment in infrastructure. The district is currently in the process of directing the rehab and improvement of 6 sewage lift stations and improving backup power for those 2 lift stations. We're doing these improvements not only to support the district, but to support our employees out there that are out there in the middle of the night holding the line. And hopefully there'll be fewer call-outs in the future. The current and future infrastructure improvements and rehab and the knowledgeable and diligent staff will position the district well in the future, responding to record emergency storm conditions. So I'd like to see, I'd like to get every employee that was involved in that to come up front, and we want to give you official commendations.
Yes. Plus, Gail wants to take your picture. It's always good for, you know, selling advertisement.
Why don't we get them in front of the board?
Hiding the board, please. Hiding the board.
Mario, come up front.
Mario, yeah.
Travis,
are you
supposed to be here too?
Yeah. Everybody knows how to do a family photo. Short
in front, tall in back. So these are the ladies and gentlemen that saved our bacon, and we owe you a sincere debt of gratitude. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Well done, Mario. James.
Mario, nice pose you have there. I like that. So, on behalf of the, sit down, please. On behalf of the board, in my other life, I was able to respond to local, regional, national disasters. So, no one really understands in this community what you folks do and did for us. I get it. The board gets it. Gail's article is going to get it out there. And at the end of the day, they're truly thankful. They just don't know what it takes from your staff, from all of your staff, to actually have you folks be willing and able to assist the community. And this is a perfect example of what our letterhead is, a community service district. And seriously, from the bottom of my heart, as professional as it can be, thank you. Truly appreciate it. And I'll open it up to the other board if they want to comment.
No, I know it was terrible out there that Saturday evening. And there's no way in almost, and probably no way out. I appreciate that so much, and that community does too.
Thank you.
Over the last year or so, the district has taken a lot of criticism from the community, and you just made us proud, and I hope that the community will receive Gail's article in the RVT as a celebration of your just yeoman, pardon the gender reference, but yeoman task and job that you did. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for your commitment to the community, because none of you live, oh, Karen, you live here, but oftentimes that's questioned when we're hiring, you know, people, and when we have a situation like this, the commitment that you gave us is recognized. It's really, really recognized. We appreciate it.
Ditto to all that. I don't have anything to add. Just thank you very much. You're very appreciated.
Do you mind if I...
Absolutely, please.
I do want to thank staff, because to be absolutely honest with you, they didn't have to answer the phone when they got called to come out. And I'm very thankful that they did, because, I mean, it was raining, it was bad. And, you know, I really appreciate my staff for stepping up. I mean, we were literally inches from spilling sewage in multiple places. And so I really thank them very much for all the hard work they did.
You just define professionalism, Travis.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Now, my preference would be for you to actually enjoy your evening, so I would pretend like it's a hotel fire, stay low, and get out. Okay. That's my suggestion to you. But again, thank you so much. Michael, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. The board does as well. Moving on to item four, it's going to be closed session. We have two items that are listed on the agenda. Amelia, so we're going to adjourn this meeting, go into closed session. It'll just take us a couple minutes to kick out whoever needs to be kicked out. And then we set up the call-in for Mr. Ramos. So do we want to use my computer?
I'll bring mine in for the call.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect.
Okay, so I'm pausing the recording. We're going into closed session.
I didn't have to get up. It was quick.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Ramos.
One half of my head.
Sorry.
We are.
I think you're 2 minutes late. How was it?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Item number five, we're back to open session. The report out of closed session is no decisions were made. Direction was given to staff and legal counsel regarding 4A. Moving on to item six, which is consent calendar. What I do want to point out to the board is items C and D are put in here as a monthly task that we have to approve and continue it because it's an emergency resolution. And then obviously the engineer order tasks are put in here. With that said, I make a motion. We accept consent calendar. Can I have a second?
Can we? I'd like to move A2 and discuss it separately.
A2.
Board meeting minutes of December 21st, 2022, regular meeting.
Okay.
You're not supposed to be speaking again.
I have you down.
I understand reports. Okay.
So there's a motion. If we get a second, then we can discuss before we take a vote. So can I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we want to discuss A2. Go ahead.
So let me bring up my document. There are two references in the regular meeting that I believe are incomplete. Item 9 regarding the budget to actual report currently reads, Vanessa Burke, financial consultant with the Poon Group, presented the draft budget to actual report. And I believe a more complete statement is that she presented the draft template for regular budget to actual report with data for July and August 2022.
Yeah, it was more of a process than the actual, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then on item 10, professional services agreement for integrated water master plan, and this may be a subject of some conversation later, but there's a phrase that reads, with the addition of public meetings to keep the community informed of the progress after a draft report has been produced. And I believe our discussions, and I know in the communications committee, we're looking at something more like, with the addition of public meetings to keep the community informed of the progress of the project and after a draft report has been produced.
When was your communications meeting?
Last week. And
okay, so
there's a report to be presented tonight, which right. is why I asked to have this item set aside.
Got it. So I think it reads correctly for the discussion, for what the comms committees talked about and putting stuff together. I think that's the new topic.
Well, with due respect, I think our discussion at the board meeting after the presentation from Ms. Mattis was that we would have more than one meeting, and it would be to talk about what, in fact, the project entailed and some progress reports. Now, if I misunderstood that, I apologize, but that was my recollection from the discussion at the meeting in December.
I don't remember the word progress report, but so, Amelia, I don't mean to cause more work.
I love it.
I understand that. So specific to A10, is that?
It's right? It's item 10 in the minutes.
Okay. I think what we're going to have to do is potentially print that out and send it to the board members.
Print out.
the audio portion of it and in that conversation so that we can dial in exactly.
Yep. I'll send you a link to the audio, and then I'll let you know exactly when that bit of the discussion so you can fast forward.
And then I guess the other question I have, I don't remember direction being given to the GM specifically on any portion of the process or the report itself.
Yeah, I don't recall it as well.
Okay.
So I would then move to table item A2 until a future meeting?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and then I'll put it back on, I'll put corrected revised minutes back on after your decision.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. We've tabled this item. I think it's time for a roll call vote, sir.
1 second, please.
Do we need to vote on the motion to table that, or does that just happen?
No, we're going to move it. I'll direct Amelia to do it on the agenda for the February meeting. I'm just making a note, if we have a special meeting prior to, then I'll move it,
Perfect. To that. Thank you, I appreciate that.
So we can stay on top of it. I'm sorry, Amelia. Okay, I'm done with my notes.
Thank you.
Your question, or am I voting?
Are you ready for roll call?
Aye.
Director, maybe your vote was aye, or yeah, you're ready?
Both.
And Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Paul?
Aye.
Director Vince?
Aye.
I appreciate that.
Item number 7, staff reports, and just a note to you, Amelia. I'm going to have an item E, and it's going to be a communication committee is going to report out. So.
I appreciate that, and you will find the GM report on the internet. We've also put some up back behind, and the admin finance report is printed on the table behind. I will add that first thing in the morning to the internet.
Perfect. All right. First is general manager's report. Michael, please.
All right. Thank you. Just updating the board. We're going to be applying for 2 grants, the community drought relief grant and the Bureau of Reclamation water reclamation and reuse grant. And hopefully, if we're successful, this will provide substantial funding for projects like our rainwater to recycle water expansion project and smart meter installation projects like that. So I've tasked Acton's Engineering to apply for those grants on our behalf, and we're contracting with them to do so.
Thank you.
For Integrated Water Master Plan, just an FYI, staff will be having a kickoff meeting on February 8th with the consultant to get things started, talk about many important things, information, data, plans, and then also, of course, amongst the other important items, also to determine optimal timing, composition, and form, which will best aid the planning effort and provide equitable access to the various stakeholders, so that community portion that we've all discussed and talked about. So we'll have that discussion as well.
So you have a meeting already set up with them?
Yes, it's a staff kickoff meeting. This is usually for those of you that don't know what a staff kickoff meeting is, it's usually when you start the project, you meet with the consultant, and they give you a timeline, they discuss what kind of data they're going to need, and we discuss kind of how the project's going to happen. And so they're going to be providing us with some methodologies for how we're going to have our community involvement, or what their ideas would be for community involvement. So, I understand that the communication committee has met and discussed that, I believe. And
we're
so
talk about that in a minute.
You know, and you will be talking about that. So basically that's the kickoff meeting. It's usually a staff thing.
Okay.
Also, we got the board did ask how could we potentially make up the shortfall in what we budgeted for and what the cost is going to be. So we're $93,000 over the cost. I had misspoken. We had budgeted $200,000, not $250,000. So it's going to be $293,000. We're going to be saving about $54,000 by doing the water plant drying bed rehabilitation in-house with our own staff. That's money that's been saved, and it looks like we're going to be $50,000 to $100,000 under budget for the Grand Lee safety improvements. So between those two savings, that makes room for this project in the water fund.
So are we still on time for the Grand Lee's project?
Still on time?
Timelines.
Yeah, we're going to be, we're approved, you just approved the contract to do the design for
right.
Grand Lee, so the engineer's going to get started on that. And I'm hoping that unless there is some permitting snafu that occurs, we don't expect there to be, we expect a categorical exemption through CEQA because we're not
right.
going to be working in the river. But we should have, be able to start construction potentially
okay.
towards the latter half of the summer.
Perfect, thank you.
Let's see, developer billings in the next couple of weeks. we're going to be meeting with KHOV to produce their developer billing that we've been working on. There's been a lot of unfortunate accounting issues from the way things were tracked in the past, and Paula's going as fast as she can to try to get that. You could probably speak to some of the difficulties that you're... But we think in the next couple of weeks we're going to have that completed.
Yes.
And be able to meet with KHOV and discuss that with them.
Absolutely, yes.
Marietta Gardens property tax analysis. Probably within a week and a half, 2 weeks, we're going to be meeting with Consumed District River Land LLC and provide that analysis to them that's almost completed. Then now there's a few little pieces of information we need to fill in, and then we want to have that reviewed by additional staff, so at least more than one set of eyes has reviewed that, and then we'll make an appointment with Consumedist River. Safety Center update. You'll hear more about it in Kelly's report when he discusses it, but we're recommending that we move forward with the pre-vetted contractor that provided the quote to repair the Safety Center. For general staffing, we have recently filled the utility billing accounting technician position effective January 16th, so we're looking forward to getting that person trained and up to speed on utility billing. For FEMA disaster relief, the governor did proclaim an emergency for the flooding, so last week I submitted an initial damage estimate form to Sacramento County OES regarding drainage and costs related to the New Year's Eve storm. We will soon be conducting a damage assessment of the CIA ditch and the Grand Lee's Four Bay area in the coming weeks. We're also including items like emergency overtime, rentals that we've had to utilize, the downed trees outside, and other emergency debris removal. So if we're successful, we should get funding of 75% of costs. Moving forward with the board had requested a PRA report. There were 80 PRA requests submitted in 2022 by 7 requesters. The outstanding requests are actually, there's actually 6 outstanding requests, that's a typo. Total staff and attorney cost is about $10,000, but that's not counting $18,000 that we spent earlier in the year for redacting, and then we have additional redacting that's occurring currently, which we don't have a bill for.
Okay.
So we have six left.
Thank you,
Millie, for that information. And of course, there's the CSDA Leadership Conference coming up in February and October, and there's also a board member practice workshop scheduled for 9 to noon on the 18th and 19th of January.
What? I'm sorry. Would you say that again?
Oh, there is a board training on the 18th and 19th. So that's already
where?
Missed. It's online.
You
can get a register for tomorrow if she's interested.
It's an online webinar. If you wanted to join in, I could
yes.
send me... I will add you to that webinar,
sure.
And the information will be on your email tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it was my hope that someone saw this sooner than that. But
it was your hope that?
That someone would have seen the report sooner and if they wanted to do
it. Oh, okay. No, I like that stuff.
Okay, I'll send an alarm.
And if any board members are interested in the leadership conference, just get with Amelia and we'll set you up for that. And that concludes my report, if there's any questions.
Thank you. I'll run down the board. Any questions of the GM?
No.
Okay. Not seeing or hearing any. Michael, thank you. Administration financial report. Paula, please.
Yes, thank you. So to start, we have some accounting updates. We met with the Poon Group this week and last week regarding the task deliverables and getting some updates on that. First thing we want to talk about is the fiscal year 21 audit preparation and discussion with our current auditor, Richardson CPAs. Vanessa with the Poon Group and I drafted a timeline to have all of the information to Richardson's. We expect with their engagement to have a draft by April 1st and present draft to the Finance Committee and final report to the April board meeting, barring any kind of delays on their end. This is what the plan is, and this is what we're anticipating moving forward. Also, with the timeline with Richardson CPAs is the fiscal year 22 audit. Once we wrap up the 21 with Richardson's, we're going to work on the preparation and getting all of the balance sheets ready for their review, the testing, all of the pieces that we need to plug in for 22 should be completed for draft audit for September 1st. So we're looking for September Finance Committee draft review with the auditor and then the September board meeting for final. And then we'll concurrently run fiscal year 23 while Richardson is finalizing wrapping up draft for 22 so we can have our 23 audit completed by December 1st. The timing on this is critical, specifically to the Tyler Technologies core financial implementation. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. I want to get into the deliverables. So Vanessa provided a quick update regarding the tasks that she has within her scope. So audit readiness for 2021, we are working on that. They have identified a couple of issues that I have been working with Vanessa and her team these last couple of days to clean up, get some answers for their questions, and get that information over to the auditor. They have a team on site this week, and then I believe they'll be out next week as well. Task two, the budget and actual reports for August, July and August of 2022. This has been completed and approved. We're looking at doing the download of the information from the Poon Group to my team next week so we can start compiling the information, completing the September through December reports. So we'll have the budget to actual year-end projections reports for the February board meeting as well. And then the task three deliverable with the accounting assistance review for audit readiness for 2022. Again, we haven't started that yet as we're wrapping up 21, and once 21 is completed, then we'll start the work on 22. And budget to actual report for fiscal year 2022, again, has not been completed because they're still anticipating 21 taking priority precedence, getting that through.
Paula, I'm sorry, I missed a step. What did you say about 2021? That's going to be done when?
Fiscal year 21 audit will be done, we anticipate April 1st.
Okay.
To present for the April Finance Committee and then the subsequent board meeting.
Okay. God, that would be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then once we get that wrapped up, then we can start working on the fiscal year 22 and get that ready to go. And then moving on to the Tyler Technologies implementation. So setting the dates for these and working with the auditors to get specific time frames set for the audits for 21 and 22 is very critical for us with the work for the Tyler ERP Pro implementation. We had initially planned, the last conversation that I had with the Tyler project team was a July 1, 2023 core financial and AP implementation. The specific date for that was July 17th for core financial and AP, and then July 31st would be HR, payroll, and all of the remaining financial pieces. So knowing that we have to have all of our balance sheets 100% updated and completed, we had to push that back. So basically our go-live date for Core Financial, we're looking at January 1 of 2024. We have to have all of our audits completed. We have to have all of our financials completed. We have to have beginning and ending balances for 23-24 fiscal year in order to move that data into the Tyler system. And then there's a significant amount of time of data conversion from old system to new system, the testing, and the workflow process. And then we can move forward with that for the January 1. We did ask if there were any compensatory issues as far as not moving forward with this on time. And right now, there is no, they would not penalize us for pushing the date back. So we're clear as far as the contract goes. Pushing it out any further, we might run into some contractual obligation issues. But the January 1 date, they're comfortable with. They're working on getting a new project team assigned to us. And we're comfortable, Vanessa and I are comfortable with that date. We believe that we can get everything completed and ready to go for that implementation date.
Paul, if you don't mind, I'd like to add, I think this, you know, this was a recommendation by the Poon Group at, our, at the last time that we met with them.
Yes.
Just to make that clear if you didn't.
Yes, thank you.
So, again, that's 11 months away.
Yes.
Put in perspective.
Right.
So I would rather, and the board can jump in, I'd rather a timeline slip than trying to jam this through and we're just not prepared. Now, I get the focus has to be 11 months out. So I understand that. Okay, thank you.
Right. And to add to that, we're moving forward with a go-live date of April 1st for the utility billing. Ultimately, that is the test.
This April 1st.
This April 1st.
Thank you.
We're going to begin validating data and process training the first week of February. So there will be 10 full days of training and validation of the test environment. And then there'll be additional system updates, and if we run into any issues, there'll be programmers available to assist us with that. And so there will be a significant amount of staff time that will be involved in this development process of the implementation. But we do plan to go live with the utility billing module April 1st, and we have a new utility billing clerk on board, and she's ready to go, and I think we've got a good team that is ready to learn and are looking forward to some new changes, knowing the limitations that our existing systems have. So that's the plan moving forward with Tyler. You know, as always, if there are any changes to that, we'll bring it back to the Finance Committee and the board as well. And then moving on to the monthly budget to actuals. So the Poon Group presented the July and August of 2022 at the last board meeting. We will be finalizing some journal entries for September through December. So I spoke to that a little bit earlier. We'll have a preliminary budget to actuals monthly update at the Finance Committee, and then the subsequent mid-year budget report with the year-end projections at the February board meeting.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. And then for the month of December, the following contracts were executed with these vendors. We had Adkins Madouse, Best Best and Krieger. We had two contracts with MRG. One was the general manager recruitment. The second one was the employee engagement survey, which is a follow-up to the survey that we conducted last fiscal year. And then NJ McCutcheon for the DAF bearings work. And then moving on to the aging report, we're pretty consistent with last month. We have two more residents that are 60 days past due than last month, and the same amount that are 90 days past due. Our past due went up slightly. This is due in part to we have two residents who the home is considered vacant, but we have no, I think I've spoken to this before, we're having a very difficult time notifying the families of the residents. So we have no change of ownership. There's no grant deeds, there's no renting lease agreements. We're having a really difficult time working with title companies to try and locate family members who may be next of kin. So these have significant outstanding balances on them, and that's driving some of this 51,000 past due. About 10,000 of that is just those two alone.
Do we know who actually owns them?
The owner is the person on record who is deceased.
Okay.
So we're just kind of in a holding pattern with these
yeah.
two, but I still have to report out on them because they are large right. amounts. So it's just one of those things we're trying to resolve, but we're just having some difficulties. And then I moved the reserve funds balance sheet just for space so that it had its own space. And I did receive information from the Poon Group prior to coming into the board meeting that the year-end financial balances for fiscal year 20 and beginning balances for fiscal year 21 match. So the beginning balances, these are, while they are estimates, they're fairly close to what we should be seeing.
Good.
And with that concludes my report. If there are any questions.
Any questions from the board? Good news, so thank you.
Yes.
I'll speak on behalf of Director Pohl. He always appreciates when I do that. But the Tyler project is critical.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot emphasize that enough. So if things have to slip, get them identified, send it to me. We can let the board know. But the training is an absolute. Okay. 7C, Kelly.
Thank you. My mic's not working, so I'll speak.
And I think we can hear you anyways.
All right.
No offense.
You sure?
Sure.
There you go. All right. We'll start with our operations. We currently have 8 full-time gate officers and one part-time gate officer, and as well as we have 3 patrol officers. Our vacant positions include 1 part-time gate officer position and 2 patrol officer positions. And I understand there is a hard freeze with patrol at this time. We're still utilizing 1 ABA officer for the gates for vacation relief, sick time, etc. The total patrol hours not covered in 2022 is a rough estimate, about 611 hours. Again, overtime, no overtime is allowed, COVID. I understand this board's directive starting this year is to report on the shifts that we have covered.
Correct.
And we'll turn that around next month for January.
Yep. Always a month behind. Very
always
good.
Month
thank
behind.
You,
Kelly. Yes, correct. Mike talked about the safety center repairs. Again, it took a little history. It took us almost a year to get 2 contractors to come out and even look at the our trailer. And when we did, it wasn't quite what we wanted. So it was Mike's brainstorm idea, a great idea for Sourcewell. Sourcewell came out. They're already contracted. We don't need to do 3
right.
bids with them. And I think the estimate's approximately $77,000. Even when if this board approves it and Mike signs the letter tonight or tomorrow, it still takes 8 to 12 weeks just to get the parts in.
Right.
And they'll be able to go from there. So we're looking about summer for it to be completed if everything goes well. Goes well, yes. Our Toyota truck, again, it's on order. It's a supply delivery issue. And as soon as it comes in, they will let us know.
Okay.
New Year's Eve storm, they've already pretty much covered that today. But again, Travis was so right. It was New Year's Eve. Our people knew we were calling, and they did not have to answer the phone, and all the local people came in. I understand the gate has never in its history been not manned, and I think in 97 they said it came close, but this was the closest it was going to be unmanned. We had no choice. No one can get in. No one can get out, but it was Karen who came forward and volunteered to work on her day off 12 hours at 1 in the morning. So she did 12 hours shifts to keep that gate open because we had nobody. So
it can't be understated enough, Kelly. Again, our letterhead says community,
right.
And both staffs really fulfilled that. I think Director Booth said it best. It was how we described staff is how you describe professionalism. And so to that end, it doesn't go unnoticed.
Right.
It doesn't go unnoticed with the community. But at the end of the day, sometimes the community responds in different ways, right?
Sure,
so you have an uphill battle, but thank you. Continue on. Sorry.
Very good. Training of the employees. This board has directed me to have all of our officers undergo de-escalation training.
Yes.
All of our gate officers have done that. That gives them a little bit more tools in their toolbox, if you will, to deal with upset citizens with the rules and regulations, and they've all gone through and passed their training. In addition to that, our patrol officers went through use of force de-escalation training. That gives them additional tools in their toolbox, if you will, so they don't have to use their OC, their baton, their firearm. It gives them a better way of communication, and we're, I think, at 99% of compliance with that. And that.
Did de-escalation training make it to Director Polk? That was really who I had focused. Sorry.
We can do it if you wish.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
We'll have that for you. Okay. We also talked about it, or actually I'll talk about it now, is that when I would go to our compliance meetings, we do a lot of enforcement rules for the RMA, and their compliance meeting is kind of like their court, and they'll decide whether or not they're going to give fines or warnings and that much. We've seen a drastic increase in our stop sign violations, because that's a big complaint, the speeding and the stop sign violations, or running the stop signs, quite frankly. And no one's complaining. We have about, I think we were about 50 last month,
yeah.
Not so much this time, but one of the issues that are coming up, and he's vice president of the Rancho Marietta Association, but he's president of the compliance meeting, right?
Right.
Director. So, Tom, and he said that they were looking at buying a camera for us because their board wants to see it on violations on camera. That way it takes away that element of he said, she said, he said, he said, and it just makes it cleaner and cutter. And I said, we're poor. So he said he'd entertain of purchasing that for us. But I understand now that this board might entertain that as well.
So a couple of things for the board, edification-wise. They used to have a Acme handheld video camera several years ago. This is a much more professional. When Kelly spoke to me about it, to me it hits a couple check boxes. One, it documents what we do and how we do it throughout the community, just not in Rancho Marietta, but physically when we're out on patrol. Second, it deals with some safety of the patrol officer issues. I think it would have been great movie theatrics when our vehicle was stolen from us if the camera was going.
Sure.
So again, I think from a documentation standpoint, for the $1,400, it's more than fine. We have those reserve funds in the security reserve. And then obviously the other is for stop sign violations for RMA. So whether we come to a 50-50, 70-30, but again, at the end of the day, it checks a lot of boxes on our end, let alone RMA. So continue on, Kelly.
So hopefully we get that sooner than later. Great. In meeting with the RMA Association, some of the RMA staff worked overnight when we had those storms that were brewing after New Year's Eve, and so we lent them one of our radios. And that kind of led to a bigger discussion is, hey, why can't we communicate with the compliance officers and the RMA side of the house without having to go through all the cellular phones? And so we got authorization. So now we permanently loaned out one of our radios with them, so our dispatch can reach them whenever they're around or when we're short-staffed. So we have better communication, and so far that's worked out pretty well. Sorry.
Maybe we should 832 train them and have them supplement our patrol.
I've asked that, and I got a hard no. So.
We've had those discussions, so thank you for thinking that way. When you get a chance, would you shoot me the price of a 800 portable that we operate on, please?
It's the batteries that are expensive, too. Yeah.
Right.
So that worked out really well, and hopefully make it better communication all the way around. Okay, I think we can move on.
Thanks, sir. Mm-hmm.
As far as our stats, again, it's the biggest turnaways from our gates are going to be the contractors trying to come in a little too early. Nothing unusual. And we'll get to our notes.
Director, maybe may I before we move on?
Yeah.
I'm I've seen some correspondence that suggests that there are some residents that are planning or have already communicated to the RMA board concerns about residents receiving citations for speeding violations of vendors that are visiting the properties. And somebody showed me a communication of an individual who was planning to go to the RMA board and basically challenge their policy, which may benefit us if they modify that. But the basic question is, why should I as a resident be held accountable when the UPS driver or, you know, rapid, you know, speedy, you know, router control, and that's really based on, you know, the RMA requests of us. So I don't know if you've seen that correspondence or heard that scuttlebutt.
I've heard that.
But it's in the air.
From day one, a lot of them say it's not fair, you know, or yeah. When they come into the gates, their contractor will go to six different locations.
Right.
If you just happen to be the unlucky one, the first one.
That's the first one.
Why should that one? So I hear that quite a bit, and those aren't the rules. And I was told the RMA makes their rules. And that has been an issue.
Well, I know I received a citation a year or so ago for a vendor that came to my house, and I told the company, I'm not using you anymore.
As you see, I think it was last month when I talked about the way some of our security staff are treated, even when we do contract them, they're like, you're not a cop. I don't have to listen to you. Even when our own vehicle was stolen, even though we believe she was under the influence of alcohol, the first thing out of her mouth, you're not a cop. I don't have to do what you say.
Right.
So that's the only recourse we have, really, is to send those citations. We can't break the laws. We can't pull people over.
Right.
So those tickets are the only thing we can do or approach them. And a lot of times we're treated, which is just disrespect. You know? So it's an ongoing battle. But yes, sir, I am aware of those issues.
Thank you.
I'll go to the notes there. December 1st to the 31st on 12/15/2022 at approximately 19:50 hours. I start using civilian time, 7.
I understood seven. Exactly what you were saying.
So almost 6 o'clock, or yeah. 8 o'clock. CSC patrol was dispatched from Marietta Village to investigate a mailbox theft. The CSC officer was advised a suspect entered the village with an unknown tool, forced open several mailboxes and removed several items, and fled with an accomplice in an unknown vehicle. The suspect was captured on the villa's video camera, and the incident was reported to the U.S. Postal Service as well as the Sheriff's Department. The suspect described as a white male wearing glasses, and it was placed on our web page. It was posted in the pipeline. It was posted by Gail in our paper, and to this day we don't have any leads on that suspect. Moving on Friday, 12:30 at 2022, about 7:30 in the morning, CSD observed part of the Catawba Way storage fence falling towards the road. It appeared that someone cut the straps on the 30-foot section of the fence, which made the top of the fence lead to the road. Marietta South storage manager was not able to pull any video surveillance to identify any suspects. Due to the recent burglaries, the storage area extra patrol has been requested because the same location has been hit two times last month. We had an RV stolen from there, even though it was recovered, and we had another break-in where they cut the barbed wire on top, made entry, but we don't know what they stole, so this is a continuous place that's hit, so that's why I put it in the notes, and we're giving it extra patrol as long as we can. That's everything for last month, but going into this month, yes, I've got numerous reports of doorbell ditching from in the gardens and in the south.
Not to the extent we had the other year.
I will say this, it is getting a little bit more, I don't say violent, but it's a little more damaging. These kids will come up and kind of like a donkey kicks, like a rear kick, and that's a lot more loud, a lot more violent, and they're hitting the doorbell and they're running. And it's making, when you're older, when you're a senior citizen or older, it really rattles them. So I realize it's not the crime of the century and the sheriff's not going to respond, but we're doing the best we can. And even when we identify, we had one case where we identified the kid. We went to his house to talk to his parents, and his parents were like, you know, I was a kid, I did it, it's not a big deal. So you have that element as well.
Okay.
So, but I am aware of it, and that's been the hot topic lately.
Very good. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Any questions of Kelly? Very good. 7D, there probably isn't a lot going on there, so we can probably just... Oh, I'm sorry.
We got a lot of water. I'm done. Thank you.
Travis, please.
Okay, to start off our water facility, we're still in maintenance mode with that one. We'll probably be for another month. We are doing a lot of membrane repairs. So we have plant two running, and we're only running about 720,000 gallons a day to meet needs. Water consumption, as of December 31st, the water production for this year totaled 605.5 million gallons for the whole year, which is about 38.7 million gallons more than the same use period in 2021, and 40.8 million gallons more than in 2020.
Why?
I think a lot of it has to do with we have more construction. I mean, construction is using some to. Mm-hmm. We also have more commercial, so we have more units using water than we have in the past.
So this might be really our now new benchmark, kind of moving forward, right? So where we had what we had, now we're here. Now projections will be based potentially off of these numbers moving forward. Okay.
Yeah, and then we also and as construction continues to grow, the houses aren't going to do a lot. It's
right.
More the businesses. And now that Tractor Supply is coming up, I don't know how much water they need in a Tractor
right.
Supply place. But, as you said, it should be a benchmark for now.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Raw water storage, just forget all this information. Okay. So I'm just going to tell you right now. Calero's 97% full to the spillway.
Okay.
Chesbro's 99% full to the spillway.
When do you start letting water out? Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Continue on.
Clementia is full and spilling.
Okay.
April 15th, we will be able to put the stop logs in to raise
right.
that up another 2 feet. As it sits right now, Mother Nature has given us well over 100 million gallons of water during the rain. And so that has will cut our pumping time tremendously, which is a good thing because it'll be, I'm guesstimating, we're going to start looking at Granley's four bay for repair here in a couple of weeks once we can get to it safely.
Right.
But with the condition of the water right now, since we don't have to pump, I'm not going to take that water in. But like I said, we're practically full. And so as long as, here in a couple of months when things start to slow down, we might start pumping again to top stuff off, but I don't want to spill. So if we don't have to pump and waste energy pumping, then
understand.
We're not going to.
Understand.
So I
Travis.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I don't know if anybody was here in '97 because that's the only comparable situation.
I was just 2017 is my only comparison.
Right, and so even '17, I guess. So. Really, it's one of those, we almost have to now pre-plan when we have a flood event where capacity is and what that potentially looks like on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's triggered some thoughts in my mind, but I won't keep, go ahead.
If I could add just an item there, this goes along with what many scientists think is going to become the new normal, at least, with the getting a lot of our precipitation early in the winter and then not getting any.
Right.
And it goes along with the whole state of California. They're looking at expanding capacity
right.
for that.
Okay.
Travis?
Yes, ma'am.
We've talked about this in the past, I'm pretty sure, but when we talk about the total current water stored, we include Clementia. And there is a difference between Clementia water storage and Chesbro and Calero.
Correct.
Because Clementia is not collecting potable or ultimately potable water.
It's
drainage water and rainwater, and we can pump into Clementia, but it's a recreation lake, right?
Correct.
So as far as available water is concerned, it's Calero and Chesbro.
Calero and Chesbro are our two main mm-hmm. Lakes that we feed off of, and those are always our first concern every year when pumping water, and Clementia is a secondary for topping off because it is used for recreation. But a lot of times, like last year, Clementia filled up just from the rain. We didn't even have to pump to it. There's years that we don't even have to pump to that. And so our main concern is Calero and Clement. And we even, I mean, if we're in a situation where we have to take every drop to do stuff, even if the water's bad, I'll pump that into Clementia until it gets good, and then pump it into Calero and Chesbro. Yeah. We monitor that daily. I'm paying very, very close to that, because I know last year, you know, we needed every drop. And so I pay close attention, and I try to make sure that the water coming in being used for drinking water is as good as it possibly good for raw water. Mm-hmm. So I pay very close attention to that, and my staff does too.
Perfect. So, I know I've seen the number, but isn't our electrical bill to SMUD for running those pumps like, I want to say, $20,000 a month?
That's only, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah. You know,
that's only if we run the 500 horsepowers.
Oh, so what are we saving? My question is, what are we saving by not having to pump?
Two 125.
Yeah, just on the two 125 horsepowers right now. The 500 horsepowers we only run towards the end of the season if we have to be below a certain amount of acre feet of water per the water right. Last year, SMUD will give us a variance for a day so we can turn the 500s on to test them to make sure that they're running. But right now, the main savings that we'll be getting is the not running the two 125 horsepowers. I couldn't tell you what the savings would be at this point, to be honest with you.
Okay. No. Maybe somebody knows.
John Sullivan, now living at 7075 Via Rovita.
You moved
in the retreats.
When's the house party?
Not in the garbage cans, by the way. Just letting you know. $80,000 to run the 500.
For a day, a month, a week?
To fill, in case you have to do it as quick as you can. $28,000 in a normal year from pumping, when we have about 2,000 acre feet of demand. So I've seen it as low as $10,000. In a year like 97, same situation, big runoff, hardly any pumping at all. The 125s are, it's the surge to run the 500s that kills you.
Sure. Right, because it's
demand.
Their soft starts are not
covered over.
Once you flip that switch, figure it's an $80,000 bill, and it just isn't for that year. It carries over into the
next
year.
It's the new baseline.
Yep. Anyway, just FYI.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, John.
What he said.
Okay. Director Janko, Travis answered your question. Thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. I show here the December storage that we have from this year to last year, but everything's out the door right now. Right. We're full.
Okay.
And so, but if you wanted to know the numbers, I have them there right now. This storm has made my reporting a lot easier, so thank you. No, thank you, Mother Nature. No. The rain event, we've gone over the rain event multiple times, but there's pictures on here that shows the damage that was done to the Granley's forebay. That whole forebay was literally packed up to the top with soot and suds and all the stuff. We were able to open up the 48-inch valve gate, and a lot of it did run out, and with this last storm that came through, we haven't been able to get there yet, but we're hoping to kind of clean that out a little bit more, which will help. Once we're able to get down there safely, we had a meeting briefly. A representative for the CIA ditch came down, and we briefly talked and looked at the damage. There's quite a bit of damage for at least good 500, 600 yards from the start of the forebay. I mean, literally, the ditch is gone, and it's going to have to be. If you look at the second page of the pictures, the CI ditch is completely just packed in with soot. And that second picture, I mean, that last picture where those railings are, this last storm, the metal grating actually broke through on that, so that's going to have to be repaired too.
We have to get the Pioneers back.
We have to get something back here. So, but like I said, on a positive note, we did pump. I mean, the rain gave us a lot of water. Wastewater facility is currently off. We received yesterday a Dewberry Engineers first draft report for that. We are reviewing it, and we will be going over it and then going over it with them. Michael and I will be discussing it and going over that. The utility crew report, they did two utility work orders that were completed. We did 11 field markings for repairs. We had three homeowner calls for water-related problems. One homeowner had a water leak, which was their responsibility to fix, and the other two had, they weren't able to detect any leaks at that time. We had one water leak for the month of December. The water service line was leaking and it was replaced. 12 water meters were replaced. And then we had the sewer issue that we've all talked about. But like I said, we didn't spill a drop of sewage. We had not one drop of sewage. We were close, but we were able to take care of that. Staff walked the drainage ditches, and we've noticed that we have a lot of debris in drainage ditches. We'll be working on getting those cleaned out. The forecast shows for dry time coming up for a little bit, so we're starting to work on that next week and to be able to get an extent of all the damage. On infrastructure, the SB 170 funds, there hasn't really been an update on the water treatment plant conversion yet since last month. The recycled water at the wastewater plant, as I said, we just got the update from them, which we'll be going over. The Granley safety improvement, I think Michael went over on that. The task orders that you just approved today will be covering the 3B lift station, Alameda, and Starter Shack. 3B lift station I've requested to be one of our top priorities.
Okay.
We have the pumps for that. We are, and we're ready to go once that has been completed for that. Emergency projects, just to touch on those real. So the pumps are in and they're working fine. We're just waiting on the VFDs. Jeremy from Prodigy Electric will be here tomorrow, and I'll get an update on when we're expecting those.
Okay.
Lake 11, they're still working on a few things on the punch list, and then we had a little cave-in. Lund will be out there working on it as soon as they can safely get equipment out there.
Where's the cave-in portion at?
Over by where we put in the new manhole.
Yep.
And so...
was that due to the floods?
It's a sinkhole.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Not a cave-in.
Sorry, I apologize.
So the drain's working perfectly fine. There may have been a potential issue with compaction when they recompacted around the new manhole, so they're going to take a look and fix it.
Yeah.
So I guess my question relates to our 75% reimbursement. Would we have had this sinkhole if we didn't have the rain?
It's hard to tell. I'm going to lean on that being construction imperfection needing to be fixed by the contractor at no additional charge.
Okay.
So, I mean, if it was properly compacted, at least, because they went down 20 plus feet to install that manhole. So it's my thought that if that was properly compacted, there shouldn't be a sinkhole.
And I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
And it's obviously out of my league.
And if I'm wrong, then I'm adding it to the FEMA.
Well, and that's, so
we have a decision to make before we turn everything in, I guess.
Yes, yes.
So just to touch on that real quick, Peter, one of our inspectors, has been been talking with them. I can get a more update from him, and
I understand where I'm going.
Okay.
I will get a more in-depth update with him and get with Michael on it.
Thank you. And Director Mabee, just for your information, the initial amount that I've applied for didn't have to be completely.
Okay.
There's all these other spreadsheets that I have to fill out.
Oh, yeah.
That'll have the detailed. So that's why we've hired Dominic Kelly to look at the CIA ditch and Grantley, so we can
perfect.
Get those direct amounts.
Mike, you're picking up what I'm laying down. Thank you.
Development, there hasn't been much update on the development. After the rain events, they were out here, and our inspectors were out here checking on their SWEPS program, making sure all those were in line, and those are, per the construction meeting I had today, all of those are looking good, and our staff is happy with how those are holding up. Tractor Supply, it's my understanding they're having an open date towards the end of next month, that they're projected to be open. And so I know we're working with the fire marshal on some certifications for the things that we're getting them. So, and then the pet hospital has just nothing's been going on since the rain, obviously.
Do we Do we know what plot or lot the pet hospital is going to be on and the extended stay?
Yeah, I do not know the lot numbers. I do know that when you turn in going towards the Marietta Gardens, that fenced area on the left-hand side is for the pet hospital.
Okay.
The Marietta Gardens, the extended stay, I do not know. Mr. Sullivan could probably speak to that better than I could.
12 for the pet hospital.
Lot 12.
For the extended stay?
12 for the pet hospital.
Lot 12 for the pet hospital.
Lot 7 for the...
Okay. Let me... Lot 12...
Parcel 12.
And lot 7 for the extended stay? Okay. Thank you, sir. Lot 12 and lot 7.
Travis, you're on it.
I try my best.
Yeah.
And that concludes my report.
Okay.
I'm open for any questions.
Any board members? Questions of Travis? I wasn't sure where to put this. I was going to put it at the end, but I'm putting it here now. I was in contact with the general manager during our little storm event, and it words kind of escaped me, which is very unusual. But when he told me that some resident had contacted county OES saying that our water was contaminated, you just go, I can't put myself in that situation of why that individual or individuals would think that's the process or even start that rumor. Because to undo it and what you had to do with everything else going on, it's just absolutely mind-boggling that if there was a concern with water, the first place I'm calling is not Sacramento County OES during a flood event. But sickening is where I'll leave it. So, Travis, thank you.
Just a real quick, to look for a silver lining on that particular incident.
Yeah, we got the pump.
We got the pump and everything. But I understand because SAC OES called me and
right.
I let them know that absolutely did not happen.
Right, and just so. To have to undo something like that, I'm sure this individual is a very intelligent person. But to go through the EOC, Emergency Operations Center, and just to work something like that back because it's such a high priority, the amount of staff time that it took on their end, it's just unforgivable and something like that. But all right. 7E, Communications Committee is going to report it. Hold on one second. Mr. Martel.
Do you have a comment?
Yeah, you have to. Do you want us to bring the microphone to you, sir?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Because I wind up not being able to hear it.
Why would that not be a reportable incident that everybody in the community should share? It costs us a lot of staff money and time. And this person just caught up OE3.
Oh, yes.
It should be unveiled a little bit. I think that's not a normal step.
I understand what you're saying. Right. I understand what you said. I've had dialogue with the general manager, and quite frankly, the staff time to really try and track this down isn't necessarily on our end, but it's back through county OES on who's the reporting party and just how did it work its way through. After action report might report out on something like that, but it's somewhat limited on our end, quite honestly, Mike. But I understand what you're saying, and that was a conversation I had with the GM. Seven E.
Okay. I'm going to step back for a second and kind of let the board know and the community know how this got started. And it's was December 21st when we had the last board meeting. I think I was very sick, so all I know is that I paid attention and did what I could for as long as I could. And one of the things that came up during that meeting was the Integrated Water Master Plan and the fact that there had been preparation or indication that there was going to be community involvement plans, community involvement meetings, excuse me. And we had an integrated water master plan, I don't know, 16 years ago, and they had 5 meetings. And so that came up, and most everybody, I think, agreed that we needed to do something about that. And I was in a mood. I was sick, and I said, you need to put it in writing. I don't care if you put it on a napkin. Put it in writing, because I was not content and not happy with saying, oh, yeah, we'll do it. I'm not exactly sure even where that is at this point, but the Communications Committee, which is myself and Steve, during our meeting, and actually prior to our meeting, had talked with each other. I had already started thinking about this and putting this down on paper as to what the first meeting, at least, would look like. And when Steve came on board, we talked about it quite a bit. I sent a copy, several copies, actually, on and off to Tim. Mm-hmm. And essentially, what we wanted to see for a first meeting was an information meeting, and it could be broken down into the general manager talking about what the community does and doesn't understand, what is an integrated water system, you know, how does it work in our community at this point. And he would answer questions from the community related to those topics. And then the second part of it was information from Madison Atkins, either through a representative or Lisa herself or whomever she chose, and they would be the people who would answer questions about what is an integrated water, you know, master plan. How does that work? What happens with the information? Where do you get the information? No real data necessary, but the idea of giving the community a sense of what's going to happen with this thing, and what do we know about it and what don't we know about it. And then the third person I thought that should attend would be Travis, because at some point in time he's going to be asked a lot of questions about how does this work, how does that work, where are we getting this from, where are we getting that from. So that was, I don't know, can you think, was there any, I called it a blueprint. And we went back and forth over it quite a bit. And then the two board members who would be there would be myself and Steve. So sent that out to Tim and Steve, myself, and Mike. And now I find out, or hear, that we're going to have Mattis and Adkins doing something with this. So my point is that this is a community thing, and I think the community should be, you know, taken into consideration. So, and I don't know. Help me out, Steve. I'm
sure. So I can't read it from here, but my 69-year-old eyes don't work so well even with implants.
This is I didn't have a handout or anything.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. So what Director Butler and I have drafted is to share with the board is an announcement that would go out to our community about what I would envision as a series of meetings.
Yeah.
You know, ever since, well, it's been, I mean, last couple of months, it seems like everywhere I go, people now have read Gail's article about me being appointed to the board, and water is one of the key issues that folks are concerned about. Security, you know, probably is right there as well. But what I contemplate and what I recommend for the board to approve and give our GM direction on is basically, and you use staff kickoff, I'm thinking about a community kickoff mm-hmm. meeting, as Director Butler just described, where we could share with the community, hey, here's what we're doing, here's the steps our contractors will go through, and in some future meetings, we'll provide you with some progress on how that project is going. I think a couple, maybe three, and when the draft of the integrated master water plan is prepared, then I would think we would have some sort of, you know, final meeting, if you will, with the community to, again, the concept is to share information with them. Nature abhors a vacuum. We keep hearing that from the community. They want more information from us. I don't think we're at a, we've already approved the contractor, so I don't think it's a matter of requiring or even, receiving input about who's doing what so much as the who telling the community what they are doing and how that information ultimately will be put to use. And I think it's critical for the community to have confidence in the results and to minimize the amount of criticism, skepticism, questioning that we might otherwise receive. I think a short series of town hall meetings would be appropriate. And I mean, again, I hearken back to my competitive speech days where the rubric was tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them what you told them. And I think this project kind of fits that model. Tell them what we're going to do, tell them as we're doing it, tell them what we've done. And that's my vision, and I hope that the majority, or actually I'd love a consensus from the board moving that forward. I think it's, again, from the conversations, as they pull me aside at karaoke last week, both at the country club and across the street at the backyard, you know, or when they see me in the market, hey, tell me about this water plan. You're the new guy. What are you doing to make sure we know what's going on? And that's my commitment to those folks that I talk to, and I'm looking for a consensus from the board moving forward in that regard.
We can't do that tonight, I understand.
No, I'm just saying.
But we're putting this out and hoping for a positive response. And if there's something you need from us, we will do it. But we also expect that this is going to come through the Communications Committee.
Yeah, that sounds like an appropriate mm-hmm. way to go. I think we're going to have our – it would be my thought that we would have our staff kickoff meeting first, get the project schedules, what data do you need, and then we can start taking a look at, hey, what are some dates – because I think, you know, it would be wise just to have a unified front with staff and consultants saying, hey, this is the process, this is how it works, this is the potential timeline, let people ask their questions, and then get to work, do our work, and then if we get to another, and the consultant's going to be able to give us some guidance on this as well, because this isn't their first rodeo. They've done this probably 20 times, and so they have, they probably have some good prepackaged public meetings. So we take another look at, okay, here's the assumptions that we're going to be making, and here they are, community. These are the assumptions, and people can, you know, it's their opportunity to say something, to learn, what have you. And then we go forward with the draft. The community should have the opportunity to hear the draft before it's finalized.
And I think we'd be well advised to anticipate some negativity, some criticism in that forum. It just always happens.
No.
But I think that whoever we have there, you know, representing the district leadership, I think we're in a position we can deflect, you know, that and keep it moving forward in terms of exchange of information, answering questions. I think, again, that's the key thing. It's about sharing the information. And we know, you know, the kickoff meeting with the community, we're not going to have any data to share. We're not going to have any commitments to make. We're not going to answer some of the what-if questions that were asked here last month when Ms. Mattos made her presentation. And I think we just reiterate, look, we're just starting this. We don't know those things, but we're going to keep you up to date as the project advances. And when we have something meaningful to share, we'll have another town hall meeting and maybe a short progression of those. I think that will garner support from the community members, and I think that's a real important concept that we have to pursue with this particular issue.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm just going to chime in here. This is obviously an item of great interest. It's not on the agenda. I recommend the board refer this to the Communications Committee, which I think is the request, and I think it's the general manager's intention, so I recommend you leave it there, and then the general manager mm-hmm. and the Communications Committee can sort out the forum content timing of these public meetings.
Okay.
Usually, Mr. Shanahan, you mention Director Mabee. I need to counsel you or caution you, so I appreciate you not using me, but...
Usually he lengthens the meetings, too. He doesn't
Thank you for that. I think the board understands where we're going. Staff, more importantly, understands. So your meeting, I'll take it offline. I understand what you said, Mr. Shanahan, so I'll address my questions directly to the GM to get the timing of the committees changed. So... but thank you, Director Butler and Director Booth, for getting me in trouble. Item 8, review of district meeting dates. They're in there. Kelly, I can't make the 2nd because of work, so I'll contact you to figure out a time while I'm on.
You've got a job.
I can't be here. disregarding that last statement.
Hey, Director Mabee, I did have one comment on the. I actually have a vacation on the 2nd. I won't be in town, so we may want to, especially in light of the Integrated Water Master Plan, we want to reschedule that.
That's where I'm going with all
Monday
these.
To 6th. Okay.
I think improvements in communication, because as we move forward, improvements needs that end of it. I think getting the factors of production.
Yep.
All that from the 8th, that's going to dictate what we have to do with the meetings.
Yep.
So it's published. So I would just say, respective committees, Amelia will be throwing out new dates to us as that information.
Do you want to have improvements too, or just security and communication?
Improvements needs to be updated because of the factors of production for the contract and everything, and then communications for their portion of moving the town hall. So.
So
and security too.
Yes, sir.
Because you can't make security.
Right.
Okay, I understand.
Paula.
So also for the finance committee meeting that is scheduled for the 7th, and that begins the week of all day Tyler training, beginning the 6th.
Okay. So let me do this on item 8F. Is everybody okay with that? Okay. Everything else, Amelia will advise us.
I missed why the improvements.
I'm a little foggy too, but
I thought as you get
the factors of production and the timelines. It's going through improvements. If they don't need to move,
it doesn't necessarily need to go through improvements.
Then I'm good.
All right.
Okay, so improvements is good.
That's two out of
right.
six.
Improvements is good. Thank
That's
you,
a
thank
third.
You don't need to change it until the afternoon.
My lightning quick mind tells me.
Finance is okay.
Randy, are you okay with improvements morning?
Yep.
It's okay.
Good.
Marty's retired.
So finance and improvements are okay.
He doesn't get up that early unless he's
security crazy. And communications are not okay. We're going to have more information on that.
Or at least,
finance,
at least communications.
Finance, Paula can't be there because she's going to be right. at all-day Tyler meetings.
Correct.
A, B, and E are going to be changed.
Is security okay?
No.
Security's not okay. I mean, security's okay, but we just can't have it at that time of day. I will put an updated meeting schedule on the front page of the website as soon as we hash it out.
Okay.
Item number nine, you saw the correspondence in the board packets from a resident and also from the GM. Let's see, that's number 10. Item 10, public comments, anything not on the agenda. So if we have somebody, Mr. Sullivan.
John Sullivan, 7075. I made a comment a number of months ago about getting away from the goals workshop of the board and getting back to a planning session whereby we sit down and we know what the issues of the district are and we set about the plan, not what some goal of some director might be to do something askew from what the district's responsibilities are. So I'd like to plead again for a planning session all day if necessary. Don't care if it's a weekend, but any interested community people to show up and get all the planning issues on the table. There's times where we end up shutting off conversations regarding where the district's going, and we don't get the full communication of the community input into the director in 3 minutes. God bless 3 minutes, but 3 minutes is not enough to get anything done here. The other thing that I'd like to say is that I'm going to jump the gun here, and I want to say how appreciative I am of Dick Shanahan and the service that he's provided this board and this district. His even-handedness, his professionalism, and the way he's conducted things when he's here are to be applauded. A good man doing a great job. Thank you.
You do understand he's the one that causes 3 minutes, right? Okay, just for the record. Okay? Just saying. Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. I get what you're saying. The goal workshop goes off of our budget cycle. So we've talked about once we get our mid-year projections, then we'll be able to get a timeline. So that's kind of where it sets right now. Director Butler has a comment.
Oh, I just, we had started talking about it.
Yeah.
And we have some ideas.
So, but I note what you're saying. I'll work back through the GM on that. Item number 11.
Do you have another comment? Do you have a comment, sir?
Yes.
If you would kindly come.
This is Angela Simone.
Hi. I'm Angela Simone.
Yeah, we're on item 10, public comment.
Nine.
Oh, correspondence? Okay, that's fine.
She wrote the letter.
I'm the one that wrote you the letter. I'm here to express.
Sue, could you pull the microphone close to you, please? Thank you.
Thank you. Sure, I'm here to express my objection to the surveillance camera that was installed in Marietta Gardens right across the street from my home. This was installed on January 3rd. I understand this was a project that was kicked off by the previous GM. I didn't know about this surveillance camera being installed directly across from my home. As I said, I have an objection to it because it's tracking every single that I do, every single thing that I do outside of my home, and it looks into the front bedroom of my home. I understand that you're trying to solve a security problem here. I'm not here to solve that problem. I'm here to let you know that the risks of criminal abuse, institutional abuse, voyeurism, and discrimination of targeting outweighs the potential risk to try and prevent doorbell ditching, porch thefts, et cetera, the other things that are going on in our community. Almost everybody in our community has a Ring camera. We catch the doorbell ditchers all the time. It doesn't result in a decrease of that happening. It's not resulting in fewer porch thefts, but it is resulting in a chilling effect that I have when I walk outside of my home, and I'm not okay with that. If you look at some statistical information, including a 32-page study by Harvard Law, the video surveillance is reduced by 7%, or crime is reduced by 7% with video surveillance. So I don't feel that that potential reduction in crime is worth the privacy invasion that I'm currently experiencing. Thank you.
Thank you. My name's Kevin Lewis. I live in Murrieta Gardens, and I'm, in fact, the HOA president. Sometime back, 6 months or so ago, the topic about security cameras came up, and I think the overall impression at that time was it was going to be a good thing. There was zero communication after that as to where these cameras were going to be placed. So whoever determined their location, it was arbitrary. And the camera that was placed on Legacy Lane in front of Angela's home is definitely an invasion of her privacy. The second camera was put up by the new gas station on Oakville Lane. That is a good location in that that intersection is going to be a safety issue. But that camera, too, looks down into the backyards of a couple homes. Now, we met with Michael a couple times. He's assured us those cameras will not be turned on until the HOA has made a decision as to what we would like. The camera on Oakville Lane perhaps would be a more viable one. I've talked to both residents that have an invasion of privacy there. One is kind of okay with the idea that he could block out that view that goes into his backyard. So when he gets in and out of his hot tub, you won't be watching it. The other homeowner is kind of on the fence as to if the blockout would be sufficient for him, his comfort level. So I would appreciate that this board consider these two cameras and give us some time. Our next board meeting is the 1st of March, and I think at that time we can come to a consensus.
Sure. A couple of things, and I'll let Mr. Shanahan weigh in on some of this. Where the locations were picked was from that meeting. We didn't arbitrarily pick them. That's what the community told us. So I get the HOA. If you want to move someplace else, and we can get electricity, we'll in fact do that. I will tell you right now, and I'll ask Kelly off top of his head, how many crimes we've solved just off of our cameras, and we're easily at half a dozen or better, and even caught some felons. So it does work. The future of our security in this community has been dictated by the community, and it's going to be cameras. If you choose not to have them, believe me, we can put them in other places of the community. So with that, we're going to work with you, whatever you need. We currently have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day camera that has numerous houses blacked out because I don't care about the houses. Crime happens there. we can't catch them because it's blacked out. I'm worried about my water facility. So we do that. We've been doing it for several years. Okay. So but if there is that big of a concern, we'll walk back through it. I know that when we put the camera at the entrance of the mobile village, we had a resident say the 14th Amendment was being violated. So I get it. I understand it can be an emotional issue. But yeah, if the cameras aren't on, they don't go on, and we'll wait for the feedback. Yeah.
That's
we don't. Yeah, we don't need burning stomach acid over this. Absolutely.
Tim, do you mind if I say?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it may be. It would be a good idea to get direction from an official HOA representative, like this was voted on at the HOA meeting. A, do you want cameras? And B, if you do, where do you want them? As long as it's reasonable and we have line of sight, I think we can accommodate that.
Yep.
But we'll want an official letterhead from the HOA.
Yeah, and so sure, you've got time to talk it through.
Right.
And believe me, our intent is not, you've seen this board. We're a governmental agency. We can't track a targeted individual. We're just not that competent. I wish we were. But if it's burning stomach acid, absolutely, ma'am, we can take it down or not put it in or block it out. You tell us what you want.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, and hopefully that meets what you were looking for. Well, it'll stay there for the time being. It's not functioning. And then at the end of the day, when we get something from the HOA, then yeah, we'll move forward as we need to. All right, very good. If you could state, you're fine, sir. If you could state your name.
Forrest Gump, Mike Martell, 424. Two things I want to say. I want to echo Mr. Sullivan's comment about Mr. Shanahan. I was involved a little bit in his hiring in the district.
Yeah, we knew who to blame now.
And I agree that I always thought he gave us very, very good counsel. He was a gentleman. I thought he did his research. I've always been very pleased with your, not always agreed with you, but I've always been real pleased with your product, to be honest with you. I hope you're retiring to all the money you made off us, probably the Caribbeans or something like that. Or someplace where there's less taxes, that kind of stuff there. The other thing I like to talk about is security, because you know that's one of my pet peeves.
Yes, sir.
Is I think I'd like to see us, the trailer is a little bit non-functional, or it looks like it's in needy repairs. Maybe it's a thought about going to the commercial property and see if there's a small space that we can make a deal where security is more visible for the whole community, where people have the ability to walk in there, talk about what's going on, and it's, you know, this is not a natural turn, a right turn off of Jackson Highway. Everybody goes to the left and the south, everybody goes into the left and the Marietta. But maybe it's time to relocate the security center to a more visible, where it becomes a little bit more deterrent, and people can walk in instead of complaining, they can help with the process of correcting. And you find most places, most agencies now are very visible in the community. So I think maybe you should look at that. I think there's a lot of vacant space over in the one area. Maybe Mr. Sullivan's gonna have a space down the road that may never get open. I think it's a really good will and maybe that's the way we set a repair and a building that's really an office building. Maybe having it central located might be a better solution to help curb crime. And people can see the positive of security versus the negative of security. They see it, you know, that kind of stuff there.
But no, I understand what you're saying.
It's my job. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Mike. Boy, I'm so tired of item number 11, and I haven't even gotten there. Yes, go. You don't need to.
Thank you for coming.
Ruin your evening with us. I've known you, Mr. Shanahan, for going back early 90s, and everything that everyone said about you, the consistency, professionalism, the manner. I know that we've entertained you quite a bit with how the board acts with residents. But all seriousness aside, your ability, especially in the last year and a half, to assist us, walk us through, give us guidance, I think is not only personally and professionally helped me as a board of director, but the entire district and ultimately the community. So you don't necessarily see the end product of how you impact the directors, but how we are influenced by your guidance is it doesn't go unnoticed. So with that, so we have a little something. It's just a resolution, and it's got a lot of whereases. I'm sure it's not the only one that you've gotten, but from a governmental agency that you've been able to really guide through in some pretty emotional times, I thank you. So, come on, Gail, let's get a Kodak moment. I think we just dated myself.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate that. Yay.
Don't forget us.
Oh, I will not forget you.
He's already forgotten us.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
He's the leader of the database.
You know, briefly, I just want to really thank the board and the directors and the community for it's a real opportunity and a privilege for me to be able to work with you, and I appreciate your trust in hiring me and my firm. And this is a really interesting place to work. As a small district, as you guys know, you've got a lot going on. And to further complicate my 8 years, as I was sitting here, I did a quick count up. I work with 6 general managers, which is always a challenge. Because every general manager's got different style and
that
interests.
Just put everything in perspective. Yes.
But again, thank you for recognizing me. And I am going to miss you guys. I'm not going anywhere. I'll stay
We're
in Sacramento.
Your team,
and. You got my cell phone number, so don't be shy about calling if you want to know where the bodies are buried. So thank you.
So, Director, maybe so as not to get you in trouble with council, I'll move adoption of the resolution.
Excellent. Thank you. Boy, now we're going to have to see if we can even get a second.
I'll second and thank you at the same time.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you, Director. Well, would you like more discussion, sir? Shall I go to a roll call?
I think we go to roll call.
Director Meade.
Aye.
Director
Jacob.
Aye. Director Butler.
Aye.
Thank you. Director
Paul. Aye.
And Director Booth.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Item number 12. It's going to authorize the general manager to execute a contract to get the safety center repairs completed. I don't know if it's actually you, the GM, Amelia, or Kelly's got
his building.
Okay.
You wrote the memo, Kelly. You're on.
Oh, you want to go into, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't bring it with me, but I can talk about it a little
bit. It was a joint effort. We all put our heads together on this one.
Right. The big thing is, like I said, it took about 8-9 months to get contractors out here. They're basically, you're lucky that we're coming out here to give you an estimate. We don't want to be here.
Well, part of that reason is the requirement of a prevailing wage. A lot of people don't.
Huge.
A lot of the smaller didn't want to deal with.
I understand.
Right. With that, we were able to get to Sourcewell, and they came out and they gave us a good estimate. And I think with what we're looking to have done, I think it's going to go. They said another 15, 20 years. Yeah. I'm going to miss my waterfall at my desk when it rains. But I think this last storm's kind of made it a little bit worse. So it's needed. What earlier comments is that we also people forget they find me all the time, so it is not I'm not hidden, and we're supposed to share that with the sheriff's department, and they're supposed to have a volunteer that can make reports eventually, and we also share with the California Highway Patrol and as well the sworn personnel. So it's supposed to be a multi center for law enforcement and a community center, and part of the reasons why we're asking for these upgrades, if you will, is that it also can be sort of an emergency center for this very board or for our office. We have 2 restrooms, a store supply. We talked about having some ordering some cots because what happened last weekend was pillows, so in case people can't get out. We want to put in a big conference table where we can put several phone lines and have communication there, a television, and it makes it more appealing for the law enforcement to come out here. Maybe they'll have lunch out here. And they can spend their time where they want to a lot of times when they're not busy. And we want to make it more where the community sees law enforcement coming and going. So that aspect of it helps too. So it's not just these repairs have a multi-faction, if you will, reason. And I think these repairs will absolutely get us back on track. And to have I mean, it's priceless to have a couple black and whites come and go every day, and again, the community sees that.
Yeah, right now they sit in the parking lot and
sit in the parking lot.
The cop talk through the window.
Through the window, have a big refrigerator, a microwave, where when it's kind of like when they come out there, they can have their lunch, do the reports, book evidence, to make it appealing for them. So it's kind of a sneaky way of getting more of our local law enforcement out here. But then again, for emergency situations, you know, we could put a big conference table in there, have lots of phones, and be an emergency shelter as well. So with that, that's kind of the reasons why we follow up on something.
Yes, I'd like to add the financial impact to this as well. CIP 23-19-03 was approved in the amount of $68,000. At the time, we thought that that would be sufficient enough to cover the cost of the repairs. So this contract right now is $77,581. We've added a 15% contingency in the amount of $11,637, which brings the total project cost to $89,218. So in addition to the approval of executing the contract, we're also asking the board to approve amendment of the fiscal year 23 budget and include an appropriation in the additional funds for the $21,218.
Understand. And that's...
That's the resolution.
Yeah. So... I'm going to ask, I make a motion. We authorize the general manager to execute the contract with Staples Construction for the Safety Center for the amount of $89,218 and amend the fiscal budget and appropriate funds to go with it. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank so you, let's have some discussion. Board members?
Yeah. I was intrigued by Mr. Martell's idea. And how many square feet do we have in that building?
The two trailers? That's a good question. I'd have to look. I have to look that up.
It's like 24 by 60?
Yeah. Two trailers put together.
24 by 40?
Excuse me, your memorandum says 1,440 square feet.
Okay, I don't have it. Okay. Perfect.
What do you think that's worth if we rented space in a building?
What, I didn't hear the question.
I said, what is it worth if we rented a space in a building?
You know, I'm not sure what the commercial value would be of that. As far as renting space to whom?
Us.
If we rented out that space down in the
plaza.
John, what's 1,400 square feet worth per month?
Off the top of your head.
So if you're in the commercial area... net of TIs, you're around 250. If you're talking about a trailer in a location that's on another piece of property, you're probably talking $1 a foot.
Mm-hmm. So 250 a square feet foot approximately down.
That's
there.
Before you do TIs. So when you lease for $3, it's $36 a year on 1,400 feet. So you're looking at $50,000. But when you're looking at a building that currently exists on a piece of property you currently own, you're probably looking at about $1, $1.25 a foot.
$1.89.
So this $89,000 is worth about 4 years of rent, something like that.
Sounds well.
But the 80 some thousand would probably just cover the TIs to where you would move into.
So it would
the
cost
rent
us,
would be additional.
It would cost us more to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But I'm intrigued also. Having a storefront in the plaza, say where the ice cream place is or something, with a sign that says security that people walk by and can walk in and
get
ask questions. Get some swag.
Exactly.
If I may,
but the idea of having a presence is an interesting thing, where people actually are congregating already and see security. I think has some merit to it.
But it doesn't sound like we could get much for $89,000.
I would also say, too, you got to have staff. when you have an empty building. I see this all the time in law enforcement. Yeah.
Right.
You go there,
that's
the building's there, but they're never staffed.
Yeah, right? That's a good point.
Sacramento County Sheriffs are dealing with that right now. All their community centers are closed.
Right.
Yep. And it still says, well, the signs have changed. It's now Jim Cooper. But it's prominent, it's there, and it's
I'm in favor of that. You just don't have the numbers here for staffing.
Mm-hmm. It's just real quick to add another thing that we'd want to consider if we went that route is what do we do with the existing building?
Right.
As it is becoming mold, right. Mold infested. We're going to either take it away or just let it rot in place. So we'd have to do something with the building eventually. Well, but, you know, it's not saying that we couldn't, and you do that. You know, you are down there. You could make it to where you have a day where you're, hey, I'm going to be, put it on Facebook or wherever, I'm going to be at the ice cream shop at, 2 o'clock. Come see us.
Yeah. There's so many great ideas, but it's just the staffing.
Right. Understood.
So there's a lot, endless possibilities.
Right.
With appropriate staffing for this.
Well, whatever the board decides to do with that building, we do need to take into consideration. We have to do something with the existing building, even if it's just drag it away.
Well, and the use of what we're currently using it for, what are we going to do? But we're digressing. Mr. Martell.
Just a last comment. I understand you need an office space, you need a workout space, but I think there's other things that can potentially be available to you through the county services or the sheriff services. There's Prop 109 money. There's all kinds of these different grants or nonprofit money. And I think if you really looked into it, there may be something available where it doesn't cost you, $90,000 or that kind of. It's very cheap. Where they may, a lot of times, the owner of a property sometimes will rent you a space for a very, very low price and are getting subsidized on back end. And there might be something else that you can look into. I didn't know anything about the repair stuff. I didn't read the agenda, so it looked like I threw a wrench into the stuff. But everybody talks about crime out here, and everybody talks about the negativity. If you have a storefront, I think you have the ability to possibly get more volunteers and do some other stuff, because it is tucked away a little bit. I know about sheriffs and that kind of stuff. I've been here one time when they dedicated Jim Noller's thing. I think there's another time they had an open house. But it's just not in here. But I go over to the ice cream place in the plaza almost every day, so it gets a lot more visible. But I think if you're serious about this, I think there's some people you can talk to that could see if they could find you some money and that kind of stuff there. I didn't want to throw a wrench in. That was not my...
No, and it wasn't taken that way, Mike. I think, and we're going a little off the beaten path, I understand, Ms. Shanahan, but we gave you a resolution, so give me 3 minutes. You're looking at some of the big picture stuff of where are we going to be in 2 or 3, 5 years. I made notes. At the end of the day, we still need the facility to do stuff. So sure. That's that. Now the second portion is really what you're talking about. I can always fill it for stuff that needs to be done here, district. Where do we want to be in 5 years? Kelly tells me this all the time. We're building and we've shrunk the security services to the smallest portion it's ever been. So I get what you're saying, so thank you. Board members. Any questions, comments? Go ahead.
Well, so I think we're on point here, because before we vote to authorize this $89,000, if there are alternative approaches that we might want to consider, then it would be a reason to vote either to postpone this decision or to vote it down. To Director Janko's point, and I think that in the memo, you talk about restoring the Sheriff's Volunteer Program, which might be a source of staffing, maybe the establishment of Neighborhood Watch. There may be a whole lot of resources that would make looking at a commercial property, just having CHP cars on occasion or Sheriff's Department cars on occasion sitting out there, probably much more visible and frequent than we have now, may be a very viable alternative to approving these repairs.
Other board members?
I agree with that, but I also hear what Mike is saying about we got to do something with that building. We either got to tear it down or it's the mold and everything. And I got to believe that anything we do will be in addition to fixing up that building, because we need it right now, and we don't need anybody getting sick from the mold in it.
Director Butler,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think we should go ahead with the repairs. amortize it over X number of years. I'm sure it will be well worth it a while. It will cost probably $50,000 to drag it away. I think we should look at that. I think that having something else is really a good forward-looking addition to the security department, but I think that we have to kind of figure out how we manage that.
No, understood. And so, yeah, I don't have anything else to add. We've seen the memo, so I think it's just two issues. One, fixing, because we need it today. Second is, really, where's the district going to be in 3 to 5 years? So I get that. Not hearing any other discussion. Amelia, call for the vote, please.
President Mead.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Hull.
Aye.
Director Booth.
I'll vote with the rest. Aye.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you should have said no.
Yeah. I thought about it.
item number 13, receive an update, Director Poole, on the
general
manager transition ad hoc committee.
Yes, the board created a while back an ad hoc committee that consists of myself and President Mabee, and we've been meeting weekly with the general manager and the district staff and the Poon group to provide guidance on a number of issues, some of which are recruitment of a general manager with our consultant, MRG, provide input to the accounting and security on staffing, discuss staff priorities and training issues, and we've given priorities and received schedules from the Poon group on our audits, and we got an update on that today. We've been discussing the financing and services agreements, developer deposits, water treatment plant cost overruns, and we came up with some schedules for the Prop 218 and budget process that we're going to go through here shortly. We discussed the need for the integrated water master plan and the public involvement. We've talked about that. And we've discussed our processes with regard to the Public Records Act. And we've made some good progress on that. And we discussed priorities for implementing the new Tyler system. And that's, to me, is a huge priority. We talked about this security cameras at the Murrieta Gardens. And then lastly, we've talked about implementing a new cost allocation study in the near future.
That cost sums allocation up
study? We have one that's fairly old.
Yeah, so on the cost allocation, normally local government does it minimally five, but it's usually a 3 to 5 year cycle just to make sure that the rates are correct, costs are adjusted, all those things.
Okay.
One other issue, Martin, and you might know more since one of us was absent this week.
Mm-hmm.
The announcement for the GM, I'm not sure the release date on that.
It's been published already?
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. It's on our website.
Say that again.
The announcement for the general manager position has been published.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. Any questions of Director Poole?
My understanding about the announcement would be that we were using headhunters, right?
We have a consultant that's...
Consultant, right.
That's MRG's the...
That's
right.
Doing that.
I couldn't remember the initial.
And then...
And what... So they've recommended people to us?
No, they're just soliciting responses right now.
Okay.
And the next step is to do a... weeding out of the candidates, and then eventually the board's going to get involved
mm-hmm.
in making the selection.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's posted on the website.
Yeah,
it is.
All the details. I was asked recently when it was going to be, because I've been watching and share that information with the interested candidate.
All right, thank you, Martin. Item 14, this is a first reading introduction to Ordinance 02023-1, amending the District Code Chapter 14, 15, 16, 20, and of course 31, for those of you that read it, regarding refund requests and collection of delinquencies. Is this to you, Michael, or Paula?
I think it's to Paula.
It's to me.
Okay, please.
So, just a little quick background on this. This was really spurred on by the Tyler Project. You know, ultimately with the mining the data for utility billing for Tyler, we ran across a lot of billing errors. And some of these are fairly recent. Some of them have historical errors. And reviewing district code, we really didn't have a mechanism to offer the refunds for a certain period of time or do collections for a certain period of time. And so doing the research and working with legal counsel, we're introducing this new ordinance to amend all of district code to reference the abilities of the district and the ability of the residents to request refunds, the ability of the district to request collections, and there are varying requirements with water, sewer, solid waste versus drainage and security codes. And just really quickly, the breakdown of that is water, sewer, and solid waste, the district has 3 years from the date of the delinquent bill for us to collect it. Customers for these funds can say that we overcharge them. They have up to a year to file a claim. That's governed by the California Victims Compensation Act. And then the Revenue and Taxation Code, Section Chapter 5151, I believe, dictates the drainage and security tax collections. And customers can get up to a four-year refund for those taxes. That's required by that code. And it also includes a 3% interest that the district is required to pay for overpayment when we issue refunds. For this one particular drainage and security tax, in discussing with legal counsel, there is specific case law that speaks to the district collecting up to 3 years, but not to the 4 years. And so to be conservative and be consistent with case law and other agencies that are currently utilizing the same time frames, we're sticking with the 3 years to do the collection for delinquent bills. And this also includes recalculations for billing errors as well as unpaid balance dues. And so I won't bore everybody with all of the changes in this, in the memo, but this is the gist of the sections that were being amended or added to include language to cover these pieces.
Got it. Thank you. Board questions of staff?
I have a question for Mr. Shanahan. The recommendation from staff is to waive the first reading. I'm new. What's the implication of that, sir?
It's just a statutory process required for adopting ordinances. When the board adopts ordinances, it's a two-step process requiring two meetings. And the first process is you introduce the ordinance, you read the title of it, and then you waive the full reading. Otherwise, if somebody wanted to be persnickety, you could read the whole thing, and that's so. It's just a first stop. The key way to consider is that you're introducing it.
Thank you.
Introducing it, then you bring it back at the next meeting for final adoption.
Mr. Sullivan,
is that memo in the board packet?
I think that you need to look. I'll email you the refreshed board packet.
Can you just email this?
Yes, sir.
And the ordinance draft.
Sure, I have the whole I have it in a little packet with all of the changes to all the code. As soon as we're done with the meeting, before I leave tonight, I'll send you that and the finance report. And I'll send it to you. I'm sorry you couldn't find it online, John.
No, I didn't.
Go ahead. We need a vote to waive the first reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to discuss it. So I move that we waive the first reading. But I want to discuss it.
And introduce it.
That's what you said, Marty, didn't you?
So
thank you, Director Paul. Introduce.
Going deaf after you're
getting and then that was Director Booth who seconded it. Discuss.
So my comment is, we discussed this at the ad hoc committee meeting, and I think Mr. Ramos is going to help us with giving some additional language in here to make it clear that we have the ability to go back, say, 3 years to adjust a bill based on previous billing errors that we think we're entitled to more. But I think it needs to be more clear that that's what this is asking for. So I'm happy to waive the first reading and talk about that next meeting.
So,
what does that do?
What section are you in?
So,
well, it was in the adjustment of bills, I think.
So it's kind of the same in every section. If you look on page 92, you'll find the district may take actions authorized by section 9.0, otherwise authorized. It says that we can go back and get delinquent bills, but it doesn't specifically say that we can go back
and adjust.
Well, it does say that we may adjust. It doesn't specifically state that it's regarding a rate recalculation and due to a billing error. And so that's really the language clarity that we're going to be getting from Andrew probably within the next couple of days. So we'll have that available for the next board meeting. Ultimately, It states it, although it is vague, we'll have that clarity added for next month.
So Andrew's already working on that?
Correct.
Okay.
He doesn't work very hard or very often.
Apparently.
Just throwing that out there, Mr. Shanahan.
So, Mr. Shanahan, with those amendments, would we still be able to adopt next meeting, or would it require a new waiver?
It would probably require a further board meeting. So you look at the modified ordinance at the next meeting, you approve that, and then at a third meeting you could finally adopt it. The only difference being is if it was correcting a clerical error, but it doesn't sound like we're correcting a clerical error here. It's more substantive.
So sounds like there's no value to us voting to waive the reading tonight if we're going to reintroduce it a month from now.
Yep.
Correct.
So, if I may...
I pull my motion.
Oh, no, we're going to vote on it and see how it goes. Yeah, you just hang on there, pal. So, then I would like to pull...
You can do it.
I would like to pull item 14 off the agenda, send it back to staff. We'll get the input from council. And then, Amelia, if you would put it on next month's agenda, please.
Thank you.
So, John, we'll still, you've heard the conversation, we'll still get the draft and all that. Yep. Item 15, this is an introduction, ordinance 02023-2, amending district code, chapter 3, conflict of interest.
Yeah, I'll take that one.
Okay.
So Chapter 3, Conflict of Interest Code, was previously updated in October 2022. That reflected changes made to some of the titles of the existing positions. That was the only change, really. We since then received some feedback from Sacramento County, reviewed it, and said that we needed to update the ordinance requiring the references of California Code. So... That's the change that we're requesting. They just want us to basically write, this conflict of interest code incorporates by reference the terms of Title II, Section 18730 of California Code of Regulations and any amendments. The statements of economic interest
required by this conflict of interest code shall be filed with the district secretary. So this is merely formality to satisfy Sacramento County.
Do you concur?
Yes.
Perfect. So, Martin, I'll let you try and introduce this again and see if you can get a second. Or do you want me to do it?
This is the first reading. So I move that we introduce and read the first reading of this ordinance.
Waive the first reading.
Waive the first reading. Got that?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Dr. Booth. Ordinance 2023-02.
Board, any issues, concerns? Okay. Not hearing any. Amelia, roll call, please.
Director Meany.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Cole.
Aye.
Director Booth.
Aye.
I got that one through.
Yeah, Martin, you got something done. I'm going to note that. With that, we're on to item 16. I'll start with you, Director Pohl.
Oh, well, I thought one of the most important things of this meeting was that we got to recognize our staff for a job well done. I was just really pleased with what they did, and thank them.
Thank you, sir. Director Booth.
I've spoken plenty tonight. I have nothing more. Thank you.
Director Butler.
I don't know if I can ask this question under director comments.
You can make a statement and direct it at somebody. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Why are you looking at me? Oh,
because
damn it.
I want to ask you a question.
Nice.
Is there, I don't think we had ended up with some kind of communication plan regarding how we would talk to each other about the educational meetings for the community. Did we end up with?
I know direction was given.
We got our hand slapped by our attorney.
Right,
over it,
right.
So.
And
so,
there was
so,
that.
So it'll it's got to be done behind closed doors.
Right, well, I'll talk to the new legal counsel. But in the short term, it'll be an agendized item.
Okay.
On the next board meeting, so I would make it an agendized item on communications, because then
right.
A factor of production, timelines, all that, once that gets updated,
okay.
Then that'll kind of dictate
okay.
that process in a nutshell.
Thank you.
Director Janko.
Yeah, John Sullivan's comment about the planning session kind of rang a bell with me. I sit through those goal things and I go, well, that's not really a goal. That's just, hey, let's figure out how to do this correctly. The goal is to clean water, take care of wastewater, make sure that the areas drain, and provide security. That's the goals, the best we can. So I do think when we start off with a goal matrix, and what's your goals and all that, I think that heads us in the wrong direction. I like the thoughts of just planning. Okay, here's we want to do these things. How do we get there? And that is more planning than creating goals. And so I think we ought to take that to heart. And you know, if we spend a day or something and we cover all of the areas that we are trying to accomplish, the tasks that we have, I think that would be more worthwhile than talking past each other about what our goals are.
Right. So not going into great detail, since I don't want to get admonished again. Director Butler has, I think the best way to say it is, we've been in a survival mode the last couple fiscal cycles, right? So we're going to get past that. So really where we're looking is, where are we 3 years from now, 5 years from now, and what does it look like? So I think it's one of those, this board, and Michael, you and I have had some conversation on this, we've been through ad nauseum some of these goals, mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, our budget dictates our goals, right? So we have to get ahead of that and plan on where we want the budget to go. So we're gonna get out of this fiscal sucking swirly eddy of despair at some point. And when we are, then we need to be ready to go.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that bigger picture, not this next fiscal cycle, but I think it ties in to we get a mid-year projection, set it, and I think once we get that, then we're working on next year, as we've talked about, especially in the ad hoc committee, then we can start overlaying some of these bigger items, whether it's what Mr. Martell talked about or Mr. Sullivan, but I think that's kind of it, but we can't discuss it, so that's kind of the conversation. But
good job of not discussing it.
Okay, thank you. I always say this, I always mean it, staff, thank you. I get it, there's outside noise, please tell your staff, don't listen to the outside noise. That's our responsibility as the board members to be the pinata for the community. Some take great pleasure in that, and it just comes with the territory. But I think this last month, if those naysayers, and unfortunately they're not here, that complain about the district at every turn, their toilets flushed and their water was clean.
Showed up.
And so you just go, again, we're getting back to what our name is, and that's Community Service District. So with that, I'm looking for a motion for adjournment.
I'll move that we adjourn.
Amelia, please.
May I please have a second, sir?
Second.
Thank you, Director Paul. President
Mead.
Aye.
Director
Jacob.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Cole.
Aye.
Director Bidge.
Aye.
Whoa, hey, that was an issue a couple years ago.